listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We start here on Straight Outta Vegas in the NFL. The big news that came out earlier today as Jets head coach Adam Gase announced that Sam Darnold, starting quarterback for the Jets, is out for Monday night's game against the Browns and also for several more weeks after Gase announced that Darnold has mono. So now we see a big line change in the Monday night game against the Cleveland Browns. The Jets are without their starting quarterback.
And I tell you, I was a little concerned about Colin Cowherd's mental health. I mean, you think about it, with Baker versus Sam Darnold, right? The nemesis on one hand, Baker Mayfield for Colin right here on Fox Sports Radio. On the other hand, his man crush, some would say. I'm not going to say it. I'm just repeating. I'm not saying Jonas said it, but Sam Darnold, it just seems like an irrational exuberance of affection. And I was just on New York radio like a half hour ago, and I was asking those guys. I said, amongst the quarterbacks who are 30 or less or younger, so that means the newer generation. Now, why would the newer generation really matter, right, as opposed to Eli Manning or Tom Brady? It's because, and Brad, you can speak to this, football has become a year-round sport.
Yep.
In so many more places. And it used to be that in Florida. And for a long time in the 90s, Miami of Florida, right? Great. In the 80s too, right? Florida State, Bobby Bowden, great, great. Other Florida, or Florida with Spurrier, right?
Yep.
Great. Why would it all these Florida schools do so well? And now, relatively, let me think, Florida State, Florida,
yeah.
Right? I mean, what's the difference? Miami of Florida... I mean, has any of them been even in the last 3 years, like a top 10 school?
No.
So think about that. All three top 10 every year.
Florida maybe at the end of last year, but they still lost three games.
Yeah, so if you lost three, are you top 10? No.
Yeah.
I had SEC love. Forget that, right? All right, so now here's the question. Why? Because then in the 90s in Florida, where they would be recruiting the high school kids the best, somewhat in Georgia, the idea was football year-round, 7-on-7 in the spring, almost like you hear about in Brazil with soccer balls. Right? You see the kids, and they got a soccer ball. They're kicking it. It's like an extension of their foot. In America, you don't see that. So the soccer players just are not as instinctive. It's just not the same. And as that year-round football has spread, now you have Pennsylvania, Ohio, Texas, California, all the hotbeds of recruiting. The quarterbacks are coming out so much more polished.
Yep.
And then you think about so much passing, right? Imagine you played for Joe Paterno in 1988. How much did you pass? Right?
15 times a game, maybe.
So it's like anything else, right? If you do it triple as much, and you do it all year round, as opposed to one-third as much and only in this little portion of the season, quarterbacks are coming into college football and the NFL with a different level of expertise. Now look at USC. What happened? Tell the story quickly. Quarterback got hurt, who was a younger quarterback.
Yep.
Plug and play.
JT Daniels, true sophomore, gets hurt. They go to a true freshman, Keaton Slovis, only a three-star recruit, not a prohibitive like five-star guy, comes in, USC, no problem, 45 points against Stanford.
Okay. Now, we don't know how it's all going to turn out. He might be not quite as good as the sophomore, but when in the past, in freshman quarterbacks in general this year, that's one of your takeaways of what you've learned early this season.
So there's been four true freshman quarterbacks that have started two games so far this season. Those quarterbacks combined record 8-0 right now, RJ.
And usually kind of a default bet is fade the freshman quarterback. Why? Because people was excited about his potential.
Exactly.
But he's not there yet.
Yep.
All right. So what does this all mean? Let's look at these under 30 quarterbacks and ask ourselves, amongst the good ones, who wasn't good their first year in the league? So Deshaun Watson, mighty good.
Until injury, yep.
Mighty good his first year in the league, right? So if we go down the list, you know, I'd be interested. Now, Jared Goff is going to be the exception, and we can say he's the one, and thus it still proves my point. Or we could even go further and say Jeff Fisher, a inordinately bad offensive coach, it would seem, in the modern era. He might have been okay 15 years ago. It seems like Jared Goff, it wasn't about his growth as much as about the fact that the coaching maybe was prehistoric. But even if you accept Goff as the exception, to me, all this talk about Sam Darnold one day is going to be great. I look at the numbers. Does anyone jump out at you?
No, all of them had good like rookie seasons.
Better than Sam Darnold?
Yes.
So what we're saying here is that other than Jared Goff, that every quarterback today under 30 that's any good had a better rookie season than Sam Darnold. Have we heard that discussion?
No. The one discussion that's been had is that of all the quarterbacks taken in the first round, the only one that you can label a quote-unquote bust would be Paxton Lynch. He's the only guy that hasn't worked out for sure. There are others.
Which you're saying in recent years, yes, the percentage of hits in the first round has gone up, which seems to feed into a great point about these quarterbacks coming out, yep, more prepared.
More developed, and also NFL teams being more open to bringing in a college concept to try and work with the quarterback and what he had success with.
That's a good point, too. Though, I just wonder, again, it's so sophisticated. We'll see what Arizona's able to do. But, Brad, you understand, again, we don't try to act like we're X's and O's guys, right? Because even though we know a decent amount, there's people that know 10 times as much.
Yep.
When you look at the offenses in the NFL, not saying there's not college concepts where they like that Chip Kelly did this at Oregon, so they're going to put this guy in motion. But where a significant percentage of their plays, even 30 or 40%, look like college plays, is that really – what teams is that the case with obviously Arizona maybe the exception now?
And Baltimore, you know, adjusted their defense. Their offense, yeah.
Yeah, but Baltimore, yeah. You're saying they look like a college team from the 80s.
Yeah.
We're talking about a modern kind of air raid type offense.
No, I don't even think it's 30%.
So I agree there's more passing, there's more space, speed, but I think that just the idea of the quarterback getting hurt. When I talk to people who say, why do these things work in college and not the pros? It's that the linemen are so fast in the NFL and they're so strong that they literally are faster than the quarterback oftentimes, and they're stronger than the quarterback. Well, that's a bad combination, right? If you're trying in college, the quarterbacks that are running quarterbacks are oftentimes just as big as the linebackers,
yeah,
and they're faster. Right. And the linemen are bigger, but they can't catch them. Right. So these freaks that are 4.45 and 290 is why, in my opinion, you don't see as many college concepts, but I agree with Jonas. It's more open. And if we just look at openness as wing the ball around, college and pro is more like it used to be.
Agree.
So again, if someone disagrees, tweet me at RJ in Vegas, but do it with facts. Right, we always make the joke, chocolate, vanilla. You can keep saying chocolate, I'll keep saying vanilla. It doesn't really tell us anything. Give me why Sam Darnold isn't, other than Jared Goff, worse in his rookie season than any current quarterback who is now good. Which means if Sam Darnold becomes good, it will be a rarity. It will be something that hasn't happened very much, if at all, if we do make the... And again, I think it's unfair. That's a Fezzik move. Well, don't count him. The wind was blowing. So let's just say Jared Goff is the exception. But boy, it's one of how many, right? And to me, this idea that it's almost certain he's going to be mighty good doesn't make a ton of sense. So I'm kind of... Count me as a skeptic. I did... And I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas... I can't lie, Jonas, you might like this. I did text Colin Cowherd, and I said, listen, I think this mono, he's going to be fine. But, and I also think, just to make you feel better about things, I said, I think once he gets his braces off, he's going to get a date to the prom. So the mono and the prom, I think it's all fine. But here's the thing, and it all comes to this. What does Vegas think? So if you just look at the simple math, and do you have that math?
Yep, I do.
And then I'm going to tell you that Steve Fezzik, and he and I talked at length today about this, disagrees with Vegas. So let's see what the market said.
The market moved 4 points in the Jets game. So Cleveland, their opponent, the Jets' opponent on Monday night, was a 2.5-point road favorite. And now, after the Darnold news today, Cleveland's now a 6.5-point favorite, 4-point move.
Okay. So remember, always in football, you got to think about the key numbers and all that. So since there's not a lot of key numbers going through there, oh, give me the numbers again.
2.5 to 6.5.
It went through 3. Okay. Yeah. So that's a big move.
Yep.
So that's saying 4 points at minimum. Fezzik texted me right when the news came out, and he said, Darnold, 2 points. Now you might say, huh, Fez is wrong. Maybe. Maybe not. The definition of a bet is you saying the line is wrong. Think about it.
Yep.
Imagine you say, I want to bet the home team laying 3. What do you think the line should be? 3. Well, why are you betting it? Yeah. Right? You're saying the line should be 4, 5, whatever. So Fezzik being willing to disagree with the market and being right more times than he's wrong is why he has a mansion and a yacht. So in general, in any given situation, I'm always more comfortable with the market. But if Fezzik has a strong opinion, since he wins more than he loses, and we've all seen it here, I trust Fezzik. So my gut feeling is we're moving more towards it being worth 2.5 or 3, Darnold, as opposed to 4. And again, Simeon, it's all relative, right? This is a guy that wasn't that bad with Denver, and I would make the case that when he wasn't good, he was pretty banged up. So if you're not a great quarterback and you're banged up, it's hard to perform in the NFL.
Excellent point.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So, RJ, we were talking last segment about Sam Darnold being out for Monday night's game and several weeks after coming down with mono, that announced by his head coach, Adam Gase, earlier today. His backup is Trevor Siemian. We know Trevor Siemian has had some success when he was with the Denver Broncos, but is there a significant difference, as you guys see it?
Statistically.
Yeah, statistically, between Sam Darnold and Trevor Siemian.
Well, listen, I know that it might be old-fashioned to care about things like objective stats. Now, the math guys with their green eye shades and their calculators are going to say, well, you know, actually, those are counting stats. It's like, okay, well, let's stick with the stats that are not counting stats. So, Brad, you've got the numbers. So let's go with Darnold first,
because
he's clearly so much better. All right, what's their career completion percentage?
Darnold, 59%.
Okay, so that's got to be higher.
No, Siemian, 59%.
Oh, oof. Okay, now touchdowns are how you win games. So if we just look at, I don't know if you can tell, we know these answers ahead of time. If you just look at those touchdowns, and let's look at the margin, touchdowns over interceptions, a plus or minus. Plus means more touchdowns. So Darnold.
+3.
That's good. Oh, well, not really. Siemian.
+6.
Ooh, okay. Now, last thing. We can sit here and kind of struggle, but some math guys came up with the quarterback rating, or the passer rating, as they call it. All right, so I'm sure Darnold's much better. So, Darnold.
78.
Okay. Siemian.
80.
Okay. So, I would say this, is I would say we are not judging Darnold's future. We're judging Darnold today. And today, I'm not sure that he's any better than Trevor Siemian. And the fact the line moved 4 points seems wholly an overreaction. Fezzik, our NFL expert, says 2, and personally, that might be too much.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
From the NFL to college football, we go here on Straight Outta Vegas. We're going to take a look at the 3 biggest games in the top 25 coming up this weekend on Fox. It is Arizona State at number 18, Michigan State. The Spartans are 14.5-point favorites.
Brad Powers, all the college knowledge.
So, RJ, we haven't used this phrase yet this season, I don't believe, but duct tape shoes handicappers.
You know what's funny? I used it a couple of times just today on different hits.
Oh, did
and
you?
And I haven't. So here's the concept. You want to give it or you
want to? No, I want to hear you
all
give
right.
it.
if you go to the track, you know these people. They know their stuff pretty well. They're usually in their 50s, if not 60s and beyond, and they have duct tape on their shoes, their dress shoes. Why? Because they haven't been able to buy new ones because the way they win is outdated. They won 20 years ago. They're not winning anymore. And that's the thing about sports betting. The leagues change. The markets change. There's change. That's the only constant, as they say. And if you won with something 10 years ago, odds are it's hard to win with that same handicapping approach today.
So the duct tape shoes guys, RJ, I think they're on the right side here. That would be Michigan State minus 14.5.
So what's the concept that the duct tape shoe guys would use?
They're going to use revenge. Michigan State has revenge for last year, a game that they wilted late at night in the desert. Oh. Heat, wait, 100 degrees.
So let's be clear, though. We do a podcast. Yeah. We have this on podcast straight out of Vegas. Just search RJ Bell. Also, the Dream Preview. Hours of deep dive. Hours and hours. One of our cohorts had that handicap. What was his name?
Steve Fezzik.
Now, would you bring it up if he was here that you think this is outdated stuff?
No, I would.
All right. Just coincidentally, he's not
there's
here.
A greater chance I bring it up with him not here.
Okay. Well, we'll make sure to have the tape on this for him tomorrow.
Fair enough.
Go ahead.
Well, that was their thinking. Revenge for a late last second loss against Arizona State. Here's my reasoning for liking Michigan State. It all comes down to the Michigan State offense. The expectation was Michigan State's offense was going to be much improved coming into the year. Wasn't a good week one performance, but last week we finally saw it. The light bulb went off. Michigan State's offense had their best performance in 5 years. So I think the market is not afraid to lay two touchdowns here with the Spartans. And remember,
what do you mean the market's not afraid to lay? Because that assumes most people are betting it and the line's going up.
It is going up. It was my line move prediction of the week. I said Michigan State a couple days ago, right here on Straight Out of Vegas, minus 13.5. That line would likely go up. It's gone up a full point already.
14.5.
Yes.
14's a key number.
Yeah.
So at this point, you're saying, if you're picking this, if you want to bet it, too late. You should have been listening to Tuesday Straight Out of Vegas, and the wisdom of Brad Powers would have got you down on Michigan State minus 13.5. But since you're only listening now, come Thursday, like a fair weather listener, we still love you, just not as much as the 5 day a week guys. You're saying the value prop of listening every day is gigantic.
Yes.
And you're also saying you're great.
Yes.
Welcome to Mirage, Mr. Papa Giorgio.
I think he's getting a little full of himself, Jones.
Well, you guys mentioned duct tape on the shoe guy. Does super glue count? Because I had a pair of Steve Maddens back in the day that I just could not get rid of, and I used super glue. It worked, too.
You know something? It works for a while, but when the leather literally starts fraying, it's only duct tape.
It looks like a baseball mitt from the 30s. Yeah, it's not a good look. Guys, we have an SEC matchup coming up over the weekend on Saturday. Florida is at Kentucky, and the 9th-ranked Gators are an 8-point favorite.
And so I think a quarterback injury is the key story here. Kentucky's quarterback, Terry Wilson, suffered a knee injury last week. He's out for the season. His replacement, Sawyer Smith, good experienced quarterback, was a starter for multiple years at Troy. Good, better passer than Terry Wilson, but he's not as mobile as Terry Wilson, the starting quarterback for Kentucky. And that's a bad sign against the best pass rushing team so far in college football this season, Florida. 15 sacks in 2 games. That's why I lean with Florida here, minus the 8 points.
And then when we talked about this on the pod, it was one of the most interesting games because I said, how good is the new quarterback? How good is the injured quarterback? And your answer was?
Not much of a difference.
But somehow it's an example of style makes fights, style makes matchups in football. Whereas if you're playing a superior team and you're not a great offensive team, you want a mobile quarterback that might break one or two plays. If you have a more classic dropback passer, the chance of old school driving down the field isn't great. So you want the variety and the variance that comes with a mobile quarterback.
Absolutely.
Guys, the Cy-Hawk Bowl is on Fox Sports 1 on Saturday. 19th ranked Iowa is at Iowa State, and the Hawkeyes are a 1.5-point favorite.
So the market has downgraded, in my opinion, Iowa State too much for a bad first week performance against an FCS school, RJ. And I see this year after year, the market overreacts to finals, whether they be losses against FCS schools or close wins. Iowa State had to go to double overtime to beat Northern Iowa. Who? Well, here's who, what Northern Iowa is. I went through the Jeff Sagarin power ratings. He's a famous guy, used to be a part of the BCS. And right now, Northern Iowa is rated higher than 33 teams at the FBS level. So that
so Sagarin, you trust,
yes,
trust
I do.
Those generally. And where are they ranked?
They're ranked right around 100, so they're about...
So another Division I school around 100, it would be like, oh, they lost to a bad team, right?
Yep.
But it wouldn't be like, oh my gosh, I've hardly heard of those guys.
Exactly.
And that's why when it's a non... And I always get this confused. FBS...
Versus FCS.
Whoever came up with that is not a marketing genius. Let's just say that. But I think losing to the smaller school, the unknown school, even if they're better than a better known school... Boy, I tell you, people react to it.
They do. And in this case, there was an overreaction, therefore value Iowa State plus 2.5.
All right. So you, of all the three of these games, you like Michigan State earlier. The lines moved for the listeners that didn't listen. Kentucky, what do you, I mean, is there an opinion?
Yeah, lean on Florida.
All right. And then in this game, is it a lean or a like?
It's a like on Iowa State plus 2.5.
And like means you're betting it.
I have.
And that's at the current number.
Yep.
You'd bet it.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.